the difference between hope and faith. And we have people who have learned something from that teaching. We have those people who have been edified, motivated. In fact, some got even more faith than ever. Amen. Never forget this all the times. Anything that has no word is of hope. That's right. And anything of the word is faith. Faith, you have to believe. You have to believe. Now, as I also did mention that, right? You cannot just wake up in the morning and say you believe in Jesus. You must believe in the word. When you hear the message about the Messiah, when you believe that he is the Messiah, you are believing because you heard the word. Amen. You get that right? Yes. So you cannot just wake up in the morning. The Bible says, how will they believe if no one has preached to them? And how will they preach if they are not sent? Amen. You get it right? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. So you must be impacted by that. So if you are praying for barriers to be broken, and there is just hope, no barrier can be broken. It is faith that will make the barrier to be broken. Everyone in the Bible who you think had faith, there was a word spoken to them, and they were believing that word. Anything of hope has no word. So if you are believing God for a miracle and there is no word that you actually are backed, or you are actually backing on, it is not faith. If you think you get married this year, like, I'm going to get married in the name of Jesus Christ. This year I have faith. I'm getting married. Where are you getting it? Because even other people out there are also saying the same. And they're not even born again. They're also saying that this year I'm getting married, and they are not even saved. So what's the difference between you and them? There's no difference. But when you say Isaiah 34, verse 16 says, none shall lack their mates. Karoprakida. Search in the scroll of the Lord and read. None of them shall lack their meat. For it is the mouth of the Lord that has spoken, and his spirit will gather them together. So I believe that God's spirit will gather me together with my spouse. For it is written. Then you are believing. Because you are believing something that is said. It's either you read it in the scripture, or a man of God has spoken a word and you are believing that word. Am I talking to somebody here? In the volumes of the book, it is written about me. So I come. Aya Karuzia. Am I speaking to somebody here? In Psalm 89, what is David saying? David, again and again, he's saying that great men of God spoke about me. He was anointed by Samuel that you'll be a king. And he was believing what Samuel said. It was not hope. There was what Samuel said. Though he had a lot of obstacles, he met so many problems. For 14 years, the man never changed his confession. The prophet said, I'll be a king. Oh, am I talking to somebody? Now, we have people who think actually they have faith. Yet, they even question their own prophecy. Well, it didn't happen. And God spoke to Abraham. Leave your father and your mom to your place. I'll show you there. I'll make you a great nation. And he didn't left, meaning he believed. So there was a word he believed. He didn't just act. Lot, he was told, we're about to burn this city with the fire. Do you understand that? Can you imagine there's no fire, there is nothing, like the way we are like this, and we're being told, and someone comes to you, and remember the angels who came there, they were like girls. Do you understand that? It was not like God came in a fire and a cloud and he said, hey, Lord, leave now. No, they were very, very beautiful girls. And the people who were in the city were even saying, we want to sleep with these girls. They didn't come like with a stress. Oh, no. They didn't even look like spiritual. They came physically. And they said, no. They are very beautiful. We want to sleep with them, not knowing they were angels. And then they came, they said, please pack everything now because this city will be burnt with the fire. Oh, am I talking to somebody here? Oh, yes. And when he was leaving, people said, no, these are very beautiful women. Not knowing they were angels. Now, can you imagine where your wife, people can come at your house dressed in suits and they say, no, we are angels. We want to tell you that fire is about to burn this town. So we want you to go. You'll be like, who are you? Show me your ID. It took faith. That's why faith is ridiculous. I told you this. So they had to believe the word spoken. And when they were going like this, they were told, don't look back. Now, you are telling me that there will be fire. And you say, I should not look back. Why if it's a lie? I have to check if it's really burning. You are strangers, I don't know you, and you are telling me that let's go. But don't look back, don't check if it's really burning. That's where now the wife is said, no. This one, I'm not taking it. If you look back, you will turn into a pit of what? Now they are walking like this. Whether the wife has become short, they don't even know. You can't even tell to say, is she really a short? It takes another level of faith. Just to be walking like this, like, whether my wife is coming or why. Can you imagine? So there must be what you hear. There must be a message. In verse 11 of Joel 2, the Bible says God gives voice to his army. For his camp is very great. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Now, do you have a voice? Or you just think, I'm hearing, I'm believing God. It says, great is the one who executes his word. Are you there, right? So you must always understand this, that there must be a voice you must believe. God said to Moses, he said, move forward. Now there is a sea. And God says, move forward. Now you are telling everybody, to say, enter into the sea. Let's move into the sea. Now, there is water here. God says, move forward. They had to believe. As they were approaching, starting to enter into the sea began to part. If they didn't take that action, there was no miracle. So there was a way they had to believe. What way do you have that you are believing? And you want miracles to happen. So you find yourself in the predicament of hope. And you wonder why things are not happening. They are not happening because you are not operating in faith. Because the Bible says God sent his word. And his word healed them. There must be the word. Because even the creation that was created because there was a word that was spoken. Let there be light. And there was light. So there must be something that you must believe. There must be the voice. It took so much faith for David to believe he'll be a king when there was already an anointed king. You'd be asking like, what is he saying? I decree and declare. Every barrier in your life, by the faith we have and by the word God has spoken, it will fall in the name of Jesus. You see, I just given you a declaration and a prophecy. What prophets have I just spoken now? That they, by the faith you have, the barrier in your life will be what? So now you have a weight. That's why Paul spoke to Timothy. He said, my son Timothy, pay attention to the prophetic message you received. Because through it, you will be able to fight a good warfare. Oh, am I talking to somebody here? So when I speak a word of or a prophetic message, I am telling you because I want you to quote it when you are praying. It is said of me. Am I talking to somebody here? It is written of me. Major One declared it. He spoke that the barrier will be broken. I therefore announce every barrier for now. Oh, are you getting it right? Now, let's just look at this matter. Jesus Christ faces the devil. The Bible says the devil began to take Jesus into different temptations. And Jesus began to what? To use the word. He said it is written. And the devil said it is also written. Until Jesus said it is said. The Bible says when Jesus said it is said, the devil left Jesus. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Whenever Jesus said it is written, the devil also said it is written. So the devil was countering. There was a counter response on whatever Jesus would say. It is written, it is written. It is written, it is written. Until Jesus said, it is said. The devil said, now, I don't know how to say the word of God. And the Bible says, and the devil left him. So if we want to see barriers falling, get out of hope. You must have a word you are believing on. You can't just be saying, I am praying, things will happen. Even if you fast, I promise you, you can fast, you can even do, you can even be a great giver. Nothing will change. There must be a word. Do you know what Jesus Christ said to everyone who believed his word? Do you know what he said? Anyone that believed Jesus' word, Jesus said this word to them, I have never seen anyone of great faith like you. Anyone who believed in the word of Jesus. One centurion told Jesus, he said, you are a man of authority. Just speak a word and my servant will be healed. The Bible says what? Jesus said, I have never seen such faith. Because the man was believing the word that Jesus would say. Am I talking to somebody right here? So if you believe in the word, you are operating in faith. It is not just because you are born again, then it's just natural, like I'm believing. No, there must be something you must hear. Something you must hear. If you read your Bible, there must be a rhema, a message you must get from the scriptures. And you begin to believe it. There must be a prophetic declaration that you must believe on. So number one, ignorance, the lack of faith, being mistaking it with hope. The Bible says, against all hope, Abraham believed. Oh, am I talking to somebody here? He was fully persuaded that he who had spoken, he who had promised, was able to perform. That is faith. There must be something that you believe that was promised to you. In Luke 7:7, the scripture says,
therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed.
Did you hear that?
For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this thing, he marveled at him.
What?
And turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel.
You understand? Why? The man was believing in the word. Simple. Because the man said, if you say a word, the man was believing in the word. Jesus saw faith. So there must be the word you must believe. In the beginning, there was the word. And the word was with God. And the God was the word. Hey, tell someone, like, somebody came to me and said, Papa, you prophesied to me. And that I'll be promoted. I said, you said that I'm going to be a manager, but I'm just a driver. I think maybe the prophecy didn't belong to me. I said, oh, really? I said, so you want us to undo it? Should I undo my prophecy? He said, no, because I have no qualification or whatsoever. So I didn't ask him. We had the testimony in church here in Malawi. The man came here. He said, I'm no longer a driver, I'm a manager. The owner of the company told the guy to say, we want to send you for a certain course for 6 months. The man went there for 6 months. He came back. He didn't even know why. He came back. He said, no, you are no longer a driver. You'll be driven. His word shall surely come to pass. Am I speaking to somebody right here? So the reason why we are here to prophesy is because we want to give you a word that you must believe, that you must act upon, that you must pray. Oh my God, I'm talking to somebody right here. That's the whole meaning. When I stand here, I'm not just standing here. There is a message you must hear. Otherwise, you live in hope. In Habakkuk 2 verse 3, what does the Bible say? The Bible says,
for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak.
I just want you to emphasize speak.
And it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
Simple. So the reason the message is spoken to you is you should have something to believe on. Paul said in my son Timothy, he said, every prophecy which was given to you, he said, pay attention. Apostle Peter wrote, he said, we have a word, the most sure word of prophecy. Am I talking to somebody here? He said, you will do well if you pay attention, for it is like a light shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star shines. The word of prophecy, you will do well to pay attention. So you must have a prophetic message, whether you are praying alone, whether you are alone in your room. That, you know, there's a moment that most of you don't even understand, but God speaks to you in prayer. And you think it's your thoughts. I told you before, there was a moment that I used to rebuke my thoughts when I'm praying. I went to the prayer mountain and I was praying there. I'm praying long time ago. You know, so I'm praying there, and I'm thinking other things. And I said, in the name of Jesus, why am I thinking this? I rebuke you. I prayed the whole day. I didn't hear God. I went home. I was so angry. I said, but I went there to pray. I heard nothing from God. I went the other day. I went there to pray. Just the moment I began to pray, I felt so sleepy. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, sleeping. And I dozed and I slept. I had a very terrible dream. I woke up. I'm like, Jesus, I rebuke this dream. The third day I went to pray again. Am I talking to you? Oh, yeah. And I was so busy praying there. You know? And God spoke to me there. He said, go down. I already spoke to you the other day and yesterday. So I sat down. I began, what was I thinking that day? And I remembered what I was thinking. And what was I yesterday? What I said, I never thought anything, but I slept. And the dream which I dreamt was so dangerous. When I went down the mountain, 2 days later, what I dreamt at that mountain happened. And what I was thinking that time happened. So sometimes you may actually be praying like this, and then thoughts in your prayer, thoughts come. You must check them if they are from God or from the devil. Sometimes God is actually talking to you. It's not your thoughts that has taken over. The Father has taken over. Now. Okay, let's go back into what we're teaching tonight. So number one, ignorance of faith and hope can make you not to break the barriers. There are so many barriers, financial, spiritual, a lot of barriers in life. But for you to break them, you need faith and not hope. Number two, let's look at unforgiveness as a number two. Somebody say unforgiveness. Most believers, their God is a forgiving God, but they don't. There are so many believers right now who have issues with their cousin, their brother, their sister, their mother, their father, their husband, their wife. You are not, you claim you forgive, but you are not. Listen, if someone wronged you, okay, do not keep a grudge. If it's a thing that you can't be, if it's a friend you can't be with, release them, but forgive them. There are people right now who you will never have a breakthrough because of unforgiveness. The barriers you have, sickness whatsoever, financial barriers, demonic barriers, you can never break them if there is no unforgiveness. Never. I'm not preaching it. Jesus Christ preached it. Now let's go to the scripture, and I want us to read together. We are dealing with what causes barriers not to be broken. Why people pray and fast, commanding barriers, and barriers are not falling. It is because one, ignorance of hope and faith. Number two, unforgiveness. In Matthew 18, verse 32 to 34, New King James Version, the scripture says,
then his master, after he had caught him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me.
I forgave you all that what? All that debt. Because
you begged me.
You begged me to forgive you. Okay?
Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him.
Can you imagine if God can deliver you to a torturer? And this is Jesus. He says, because the man could not forgive, yet he was forgiven by the master. And the master says, because of this, I will deliver you to the torturers. And there are people right now who demonic barriers are there because they can't forgive. They can't forgive. They claim they forgive. But meet the person. You won't even greet the person. You must be very careful. I'm telling you the truth. You may be blocking yourself from your deliverance. Like, how are you? I don't want to answer this person. Really? Please hear me and hear me very well. Hear me very well. If you want barriers to be broken, embrace forgiveness. Amen. Somebody say forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Now we cannot be talking about breaking barriers, breaking. We are not witch doctors. We are not witch doctors that we just come here and say, let's break barriers. Come on. Come out. Break barriers. We are breaking barriers. No. We have to tell you the truth. If there is unforgiveness, forget about it. Because the one who you want to break your barriers, he forgives. And we also looked upon the barrier of sin. Now imagine that the one that you want to break the barrier has forgiven you of your sin. And you don't want to forgive somebody. Okay, let's go to barrier number three. Are you still here? Wrong relationships or friendships. Say it again. Say wrong relationships.
Wrong relationships.
This one is very deep. I want to share something to you. Most people who claim they have a friend, most of their friends are not friends of faith. Instead of giving you a positive energy, they give you a negative energy. And it's so shocking to see that actually such people become so best friends. I need the people around me who, when after I chat with them, my faith is ignited. I need the people around me who, when I talk, when we speak same language. And you are in church, we want to break barriers. We want to break barriers. We want to every barrier must be broken. You've got wrong advisors, wrong friends. Can I say something to you? This, don't take it lightly. There was one man in the Bible who was supposed to become a king. Okay? Do you know why most children of David never became kings? It is a son which was born from another woman, not from his legal wife. By law, traditionally, David's son from his first wife was supposed to be the king. But do you know why they never became kings? There was a barrier. And do you know why these barriers were there? Wrong relationships and friends. And wrong. Most children of David had bad advisors and bad friends. One child was even told by a friend that, do you know you can actually overthrow your father? There are people, I have seen people in ministry who were supposed to be very far in my ministry here. But they had wrong friends who advised them. You can also become like a major one. Am I lying? I have seen people who, friends who come to them and say, hey, have you heard? Have you seen this? I'm leaving the church. There are people who actually, because of not knowing, you must be very careful. Am I speaking to somebody here? Now, let me just show you a scripture. One of the sons of David, okay, his name was called Amon. This man was supposed to become a great man and, in fact, even a king, but he could not. Do you know why? In 2 Samuel 13, we're not going to read it, I'll just tell the story. Verse 5 to 14, the man was advised by a friend. He said, you know what? You must sleep with your sister. You must rape your sister. Do you understand that? David's kids were like that. Another one wanted to overthrow him. Another one. There are people right now you don't even know what I'm talking about. And then he's standing there and he's advising his brother. He's like, no, sleep with your half-sister. You need to tell David to say that you are sick and you want your sister to come and serve you with the food in your room. Then he went to his father and said, Papa, I'm very sick. David said, what can I do for you? He said, no. Send my sister to bring food in my bedroom. And he raped and ran away. Now, when God looks at the children which were born from his wife, all of them crazy. It's only Solomon who has no record. So we have people right now who they are supposed to be somewhere, but because of wrong friends and relationships, wrong advisors. Am I talking to somebody right here? Right? You must be very careful. Tell your neighbor, be very careful. There are people who are supposed to be prophets, prophetesses, bankers, lawyers, but because of a friend, they are not. So if you want, listen to me, listen, if you want barriers to be broken, this is why everyone in the Bible who had a barrier, the day they broke it, they were alone. Even Jacob said, everyone move, Because he noticed the woman he loved most, Rachel, she had a gourd that she was hiding in the pocket. And it's the woman that he loved most. He had no clue that this woman had actually a gourd. When everyone is not there, she would put this gourd on the corner and began to worship it. When Jacob comes, the God of Jacob. I'm telling you, can you imagine that even Jacob challenged his father-in-law? He said, "We have no God. My wife here, no one. We have not." He didn't even notice, as anointed as he was, that his wife had something in the pocket. This is a moment he realized, I can't break my barrier with such type of people. He actually said, "Everyone else, leave me alone, go." And he stayed alone. It is that moment an angel appeared. I've been thinking about it. Why were not angels appearing to Jacob when he was at his father-in-law's house? There was a woman that he had married who had a gourd in the pocket. Oh, am I speaking to somebody right here? When Laban had gone to share his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. In fact, I was underestimating it. I said God. In fact, they were gods. Am I talking to somebody right here? We have people who you actually, and then you are like, today, the barrier will be broken. After the moment after this, you have got somebody who's talking to you, and they have no faith. You have got someone you know who can actually affect your faith. I'm telling you this. If we have to break every barrier, you must know what blocks barriers from being broken. You cannot keep something. Are you here or you're home? Say after me, say, "In the name of Jesus, every barrier,
every barrier,
be broken today.
Be broken today.
By faith,
by faith,
I command every barrier,
I command every barrier,
to be broken.
To be broken."
How many believe that the barriers will be broken today? How many believe? What makes barriers not to be broken? What makes barriers not to be broken? One, ignorance of hope and faith. There are people who think they are believing when it's not even believing. Number two, unforgiveness. We have people who don't forgive and they want barriers to be broken. Number three, we have spoken of wrong friends or relationships. Am I talking to you? The Bible actually puts it in this way. It says, "He who sleeps with a prostitute." Did you hear that? What happens? They become one flesh with a prostitute. The marriage that God knows in heaven, it is not the one that comes in the church and to say, "We bless you as a husband and wife." That's not what God knows. The one that God knows in the Bible is when the two become one flesh. So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, legally, spiritually, it is not what we know in the natural. What is marriage in the spirit is not what is marriage in the natural. The Bible says, "And the two shall become one flesh." Period. So if this man has got cases in the family, stagnation, limitation, and you become one flesh, and then you come to bother me to say you need deliverance. I'm telling you, wrong relationships, wrong friends. These things happen. So people don't understand these implications. Now you'll be like, we are praying. We want to command every barrier to be removed. Well, you are actually a self-imposed barrier. So you must understand this in the spirit realm, what happens. In the realms of the spirit, laws are different. Am I speaking to somebody right here? Am I talking to somebody right here? You must be very careful. Wrong friends, relationships. There are people right now who are actually addicted to alcohol. Not because they were drinking, but a friend. So when I'm telling you now to say, let's break barriers, and you are thinking your children, and you know your children are drug addicts, all of them, and you want them to be delivered. Now imagine this. We command the barrier over my children, the barrier of addictions to be broken, to be broken. Are you praying a proper prayer? No. Because those children, what will hinder the barrier from being broken are their friends. Tomorrow they'll meet their friends again and they'll introduce them again to drugs. So when you are praying, you will say in your prayer, every wrong relationship that is standing as a barrier from the deliverance of my children, I command that wrong relationship to be broken, because it becomes now a barrier. So we have people who don't even know how to pray. So you'll be praying, I am praying, I want them to stop smoking, I want them to stop drinking. It's not even them. And some of you, your husband, it is because of the wrong friends he has. And some of you, your wives, it's the wrong friends they do have. They advise them wrongly, and they're always rude. So if we pray breaking family barriers, you are dealing with the wrong prayer, because maybe in the family barrier that you're breaking, maybe there is a wrong friend or there is a wrong relationship somewhere. So when you are praying, you must know what can block barriers from being broken. I gave you a scripture, how a woman, she was being led into wrong relationships. Five men, all of them, married this one, divorced her, married this one, divorced her, married this one, and now she gets into the fifth one. And Jesus said, even in this one is not your husband. And Jesus says, this one is not your husband. Now, imagine that you are being told that. Now, you have already gone into four wrong marriages. And that was an attack. The enemy can attack you and put you as a barrier into wrong what? Relationships. Not only marital relationships, but also business relationships. All the people you'll be partnering with are wrong people. And when the enemy says, this man will never be rich. If you command the financial barriers to be broken, they will never break. Because you have got wrong what? Relationships. Imagine that the person you invest money with, a wrong partner. You invest with this one, wrong person. You put this one, wrong person. So what is hindering the process of deliverance? Wrong relationships and wrong friends. So you must really be very careful when you're praying. When you're saying, I command, I break in the name of Jesus. No matter how good you may be, but if you've got wrong people around you. 1 Corinthians, the Bible says what? 15:33.
Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits.
Say, every barrier. Blocking my life. Blocking my destiny. I command you in the name of Jesus.
Command you in the name of Jesus.
Being hindered. By wrong relationships and friends.
By wrong relationships and friends.
That I must not be delivered.
That I must not be delivered.
I command you now.
I command you now.
Be broken.
Be broken.
Every hindrance.
Every hindrance.
Of my deliverance.
Of my deliverance.
Caused by unforgiveness.
By unforgiveness.
Be broken.
Be broken.
Caused by any situation.
Caused by any situation.
Of unforgiveness.
Of unforgiveness.
Be broken.
Be broken.
Caused by any element.
Caused by any element.
Of not having faith.
Of not having faith.
Be broken.
Be broken.